Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Morning, 720 WGN. It's Andrea Darlis, Frank Fontana. We are in for Bill and Wendy. This is fun working with you.
It is. It's a long time coming, I think.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
We should have done this sooner.
We know a lot of the same people. Yeah, we interview a lot of the same folks, and this is going to be a lot of fun.
It is. Bring a little sunshine to this gloomy day.
No kidding. I woke up, and I'm like, oh my God, it's raining. Oh, it's pouring rain. But the traffic's been lighter.
I must just say, I got to start the show by saying this giant snickerdoodle cookie you brought in is ridiculous.
I know. It was a gift. You know, a lot of the public relations firms send you holiday gifts. And I just opened that today and I went, and then today was the day I said, I know we're going to talk resolutions, but today was the day I said, I'm going to stop with the cookies and the candy because it's open season.
Totally.
You know, I eat a cookie and then there's another cookie in the next room and I have to eat that too.
How much weight do you think you... And I know this is a taboo topic to ask a woman about weight.
No, it's okay.
And age. But how much weight do you think you gain between, pre-Christmas?
Right, with when the parties start.
To the party start to New Year's Day,
I would say 5 pounds.
5 pounds.
Easily, yeah.
Definitely.
Because I lost some weight, and I was happy with it, and I thought, all right, I'm not going to get above 5 pounds over where I want to be, and I'm almost back up to that now.
Yeah. So you do a pre-holiday weight loss regime.
Yeah, yeah.
What does that look like for you?
Just not, truthfully, not eating. And I know that sounds crazy.
No, I'm totally into that right now. Like intermittent fasting,
yeah.
I'm all about it.
A little bit of that.
So what does your not eating look like?
My not eating is, I would get up and I would have coffee, maybe some cereal, and then not have another meal until dinner time or later in the day. Yeah, which was not easy. It just, I was working crazy hours, and I still kind of do, and I'm working at the TV station. So a lot of times I became one of those people who you're working and that you think, oh gosh, I didn't have time to eat. And I always said I'd never become that person because I love to eat. I mean, I clearly don't miss a meal.
So does it make you think how much you don't need to eat, like really to survive, like how much you actually do not need to eat?
I know. Isn't that crazy? And I wish I could be one of these workout people, like you get up and you go to the gym, but I was joking this morning and I said the only time that I would get up and go to the gym at 5 in the morning or 6 in the morning is if I, ran into the gym by falling asleep at the wheel.
Listen, that's funny you say that. I work out all the time and I lately haven't been because I've been super busy.
Okay.
But a game changer, I got a treadmill.
Oh, see, I have an elliptical in my house, too.
But different. I have one, too. I don't use it. I got the treadmill. I use it every single day.
Do you wake up and use it, or do you use it at the end of the day?
Not necessarily, because I get up super early.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm up at, literally 5 every day.
Okay.
Doing a little bit of work, getting my meditation in, getting my head right, my mindset. And then I wait for my kids to get up. They'll get up around 7:30. I'll get them out, help my wife get them out the door. Then I'll do my treadmill. Then I'm on to work.
Okay. So, wow. See, that your morning is my week, basically. What you do in one day. I wish I could.
In 4 hours. Even a day.
And you do that every day.
Pretty much, yeah.
Every day.
Every day.
God, I envy
it. It's become addicting now. I can't wait. Even if I do 20 minutes, it's a game changer.
You mean on the treadmill?
On the treadmill.
And how long do you meditate?
It's every day, probably about 10, 15 minutes. Depends. If I get into that space and that mindset, I'm good. Then I could start my day. If the kids happen to wake up earlier and the coffee's not there, there's little things that can throw that whole routine off.
Right.
And then you got to just readjust. But, I try to make sure that I at least get to a place where I'm not waking up crappy.
Mm-hmm.
And if I am waking up crappy, it's my job to fix that.
Okay.
Right? It's nobody else's responsibility to make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
I got to choose happiness, and I got to get myself in a mindset to be happy.
See, this is good. I'm glad we're doing this show, because I need to be writing all this down.
No, listen, I spend most of my time when I'm not working researching and learning and reading and listening to every advancement in self-awareness and mindset awareness possible.
How important is the meditation part of that?
Critical. And I can tell you that I've done my own case study.
Okay.
There's heart disease that runs in my family, and I've been just doing the routine checkups, and my blood pressure has been higher. My cholesterol is genetically higher.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had a 6 bypass surgery. I was just telling Todd this out in the hallway. And in my last doctor visit to the cardiologist, just to get some routine stuff, and by the way, everything came out pretty good. You know, okay. I don't have any immediate risk for anything. But my high blood pressure was a concern for me. And I was sitting in the waiting room, and I put on one of my meditation. Now, here's great advancement in technology. Okay. I love and hate technology. I love it because there's apps available. There's, you know, downloadable meditations available. So I follow this one lady, Kelly Howell.
Okay.
You can look her up on iTunes. And I just put on one of her meditations, a guided meditation. So you hear her soothing voice, and she's bringing you to a really nice place.
Okay.
Right? And then I went into I did 5 minutes of that, listening to this meditation. And what's cool about her stuff, it's called Brain Sync or something like that. And it has alpha waves in it, mm-hmm. and theta waves that are subconsciously calming your brain.
Oh, see, that's good.
Oh,
that's what I need.
It's binaural frequency type of stuff. And then I went in, my blood pressure, typically on a medium high day, is like 140 over 98, which is kind of high.
Yeah, that is pretty high.
That day, 116 over 67.
Really?
116 over 67.
And that was just 5 minutes of listening to the meditation.
Of me getting into a state, lowering my breathing, and listening to the meditation.
See, I know that's, I've tried, there's an app too that, you know, I tried that for a while before I went to sleep, you know, because I was having a hard time falling asleep. And actually, a friend of mine from high school, who's a Spanish teacher, she said she does these meditations. She does breathing exercises, mm-hmm. like, you know, deep breath in, deep breath out.
Yep.
And I tried that, and it really helped me fall asleep at night when I was having a hard time falling asleep because my hours were just crazy again.
Yeah.
So now I tried this app where you listen to the voice, but then my mindset, because I need to focus, because I'll start thinking, like, as she's talking and she's like, go to this calm place or picture somewhere warm and wonderful or whatever her advice is, and I'm starting to do that, I immediately go, oh, I got to go to Costco. I need milk. If I go get gas today, right, the line might not be as long. Yeah, so my thoughts take over instead of me focusing on what she's saying to do.
Well, I think the game changer for this particular product she puts out is the theta waves and the alpha waves that are embedded into the meditation music. So whether you want to or not, you got to try this. I can't stay awake for 5 minutes listening to this because your brain just gets mush. It's like massaging your brain.
In 5 minutes, folks are probably listening to us are thinking, oh, that's not that long. 5 minutes in the radio world is an eternity.
Forever. Can you imagine right now us stop talking for 5 minutes?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Or writing, you know, we write our newscasts, you know, which have to be a certain amount of time. And it's just a long amount of time, 5 minutes.
Hold your breath for a minute. That's a long time.
I can't. You know? Probably 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Is all I could do. Yeah.
So I use the Calm app. That's what I use for my meditation and sleeping. And they've got some really cool things in there for the sleeping stories. Like Matthew McConaughey does one of the stories. And
All right.
Yeah.
There's one story where they just tell you every different kind of sheep there is in the world. And it literally lasts 10 minutes.
No kidding.
Does it work for you, though?
You know, it does. There's one. Too, where someone with a very heavy British accent, I have to look up who it is, I'm sure it's an actor, explains the rules of cricket to you.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
That would put me to sleep.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting that you say British. I think Sir Anthony Hopkins, has just the most, take Hannibal Lecter out of the equation, but doesn't he have just a soothing, calming, I can listen to Anthony Hopkins tell me about the different kinds of sheep.
There's a guy in my gym that looks just like him.
Really?
I want to go up to him and say, are you related? Or are you in a... You should be in a career that mimics Anthony Hopkins. Because the dude looks just like him.
He could be like a body double.
Legit.
Like a Hannibal Lecter Anthony Hopkins?
Yes,
or like a Legends
younger,
of the Fall?
Okay. No, like a younger Anthony Hopkins. But oh my God, like it's frightening how exact the guy looks. So there is... I wonder, this is a good thing. Have you ever met somebody that looks exactly like somebody and then think to yourself, is there a parallel universe out there?
Oh yeah.
Is there an Andrea Darlis somewhere out there in the world?
Boy, like I don't know about me. There's this show that I've been watching. It's called it's on Netflix. I want to say it's Black Moon or something like that, and it's sci-fi.
I heard about that.
And there's an actor who I would have bet my life was Matt Damon. And I guess this was all over the internet, and I forget the actor's name. He was in Friday Night Lights, the movie.
Uh-huh.
And he is, I was looking at him thinking, oh my gosh, how are they not related or something like that? Or
yeah, it's
just
fascinating.
Some connection. Is there a Frank Fontana lookalike out there?
I wonder if he's like the...
You ever seen him?
The bizarro Frank Fontana, where he's like really freaky and weird and like mean, because I think I'm nice.
Yeah.
Or maybe right. I'm not. Maybe I'm a bizarre freaky guy. Exactly. Oh, by the way, for those texting in, the woman's name is Kelly Howell. That's the meditation lady you're listening to, Kelly Howell. And I'll post it up on my Facebook page or WGN Radio.
Yeah, 312-981-7200 if you want to give us a call or a text. And thanks for listening. We're getting some great texts this week. I think a lot of people are off and just hanging out, chilling, enjoying family, enjoying the radio. So thank you for being with us. Again, it's Andrea Darlis, Frank Fontana. We are in for Bill and Wendy. We'll be here with you until noon. And then on WGNRadio.com for our bonus hour as well. And much more coming up after this on 720 WGN.
Oh, yeah. It's almost New Year.
I know. It's almost that time. We were talking a little bit about weight gain. You asked an interesting question, how much weight you think you gain between, I guess, when the Christmas parties or the holiday parties start all the way up through the New Year. I said about 5 pounds. What would you say?
I would say 5 to 7. And then, because I think, you know, my doctor always talks about this, because you go in there and you're like, oh, but yesterday I weighed like 3 pounds lighter and I step on your scale, I'm like 3 pounds up.
Right.
And, you know, we obsessively want to be thin, most of us, and do crazy things like diets and workouts. And you know, he's like, Frank, it is normal for a human being to fluctuate 5 pounds within any given 3 days.
Real 5 pounds within any given 3 days?
Absolutely. From water retention to inflammation.
Sure.
There's so many factors that go into weight gain on a small micro level like that. So, you know, that makes me feel better knowing that, you know, if I was ate clean for 3 days and drank a ton of water, which I do, that I'll be probably back down. Right?
Right.
But
so you'd think.
So you think, but then what happens is the cumulative effect during the holidays. You might do that between, because so the thing that's a killer is the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day dinners.
Oh my God.
That's double whammy.
Right. We had ham
calories.
On for one and turkey on the other. And of course, all the sides. You know, the mashed potato, your sweet potato. It's just carb, you know, carb heaven.
Totally. Yeah. I try to be good this year better. Let me just say better with the carbs. I just ate mostly plant-based. I didn't get into the heavy meats.
You're so
meats.
Good. I did I not.
Try.
I was like stuffing, scalloped potatoes, mashed potatoes, just piling on.
I want to. I have in years. I just also remember how terrible I felt afterwards.
I know.
And
you
it's a marathon. You know, you're going from Christmas, like I said, Christmas Eve to Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Then there's leftovers. Then you feel guilty because there's so many leftovers, so you got to eat those.
You have to eat the leftovers.
Then you ride that train into New Year's.
You know, and we're going to talk resolutions too, because the number one resolution for Americans once again this year is losing weight in some capacity, either eating healthier, going to the gym more, but overall physical fitness and losing weight.
Yeah, I think that's great, and it's the same story every year. You know, us being in the journalism business,
right?
You know, we hear that same story.
Yep.
I've been doing a little deeper research on this, and what I've been hyper focused on lately is because the whole world, it feels like it's upside down right now.
Yeah.
From politics to health and everything.
Yes.
Is trapped emotions being the culprit for pretty much everything that's wrong in our life.
I believe that.
From the age of like 3.
That young?
Yeah, that we know nothing about, that's stored into our memory banks just like computers.
Right.
And we have no ability to respond to those as a 3 or 2 or 1 year old. But the effect of energy is around us.
Do you think it's because it starts that young, because that's when you start learning behavior?
Totally.
You know, at 3, 4 years old, you start mimicking your parents or
Absolutely.
Your brothers and sisters.
Absolutely. And I think when you talk about weight, you know, gain and severe, you know, obesity, it's usually tied to an emotional experience back in the childhood.
Right.
So my resolution this year is to focus more on unlocking the trapped emotions that are in my body to then succeed on all those resolutions that are surface resolutions, to be able to actually do them and do them with, you know, authenticity and clarity. And it's a deep concept.
Right.
But it's the real work.
And mine is to not eat yams with sweet potato, or rather with marshmallows. I'll just add the brown sugar and the walnut, and I'll just stick right with the
yam.
Do
you find yourself doing that in like June or July?
Yeah, totally. Do you?
No.
Right. Yeah. Although I find myself hitting the gym a lot more at the early stages of the new year, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And then by March, it's like, oh, it's getting nice out. I don't think I need to go to the gym anymore.
Well, I mean, I'm curious. I would love to hear from the listeners what your guys' resolutions are going to be this year. Are they anything different from last year? Are you still kind of trapped in the whole cycle of, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to be a better person.
Yeah,
I'm going to
work out.
I'm going to stop smoking.
Yeah.
You know, what is a different resolution for yourself?
That's a good one. Yeah. 312-981-7200. We have some prizes to give away as well. We'll take a quick break, get Ryan in here with the news, and back after this with Frank Fontana and Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN. Yeah, Ryan's going to be hopping in with the news. Ryan, actually, Frank thought that you were a writer of books of self-help, and I said, you probably could be.
I have read quite a few of them myself, including, I guess I'll just tell you right now, my New Year's resolution, something that I've been struggling with and battling with, is cell phone addiction.
Trying to
wean myself off. You know, it's amazing. I take the Metra into and out of work every day, and it's amazing when you sit there and everyone is staring at their laptop or their cell phone or their iPad.
Right.
Social media, watching movies, and the only people who have their head up and are looking around are older people, people in their 70s and 80s, and staring at all the people looking at their blue screens.
And truth, maybe it's because of the business that we're in, but anybody in this room or in this building who does not pick up their phone first thing in the morning.
No, I do.
I can't say
I do
it.
Too.
Well,
I sleep
ours, with it yeah, next have to our, me. Our alarms on it, right?
Right, but even if so, say, I know we all set our phone alarm, but isn't that the first thing you do, even if you shut off an alarm? Like it normally used to be, you'd get up, you'd shower, you make the bed, whatever, you could put the coffee pot on. Now, I would bet that 99% of us pick up our phones, just either see, you know, what the weather's going
to
be.
Well, the question is, do you pick up your phone and go right to Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter?
Right.
Or are you picking up your phone to check the weather?
Or the email. I know Ryan and we get bombarded with emails.
I mean, we tend to use work as an excuse, but the fact of the matter is, a lot of times we just do it because we're bored. And it's the same thing that we do when we're eating, right? We just eat because we're bored.
Sure.
And if you can kind of break yourself out of that cycle, you know, that's something that I'm doing. We're going to work on a series, actually, coming up in January, a news series on cell phone addiction. And that's something that's
a great topic.
We're gonna try to tackle how serious it can get and the things that you can do during your day to kind of break that cycle a little bit.
Well, let's do this.
I love that.
I'd like to kick this topic around a little bit later. If we can continue this conversation, because I got some interesting insight on this and what I'm doing with my kids as it relates to people on their phones.
Great book out there, by the way, called How to Break Up with Your Phone. I highly recommend it. A lot of libraries have
it.
It's a short read, but it shows you how these apps, how the cell phone companies try to keep you engaged as long as possible. I mean, part of it isn't just you. It's the way that these apps are designed to keep you coming back.
Totally.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. Let's get a little news update, Ryan.
It's good to be clean. Just for a while.
1038 720 WGN, Andrea Darlis, Frank Fontana. We are in for Bill and Wendy until noon, and then you can join us on the stream on WGNradio.com. And just before Ryan's news, we were talking a little bit about self-help and resolutions and how people are kind of doing things differently now. It's not just, I'm going to lose weight. It's ways to do it.
Ways
you know, and the
it.
Way you were talking about, Frank, kind of more of a, you know, start from within and go the mental route first before the physical.
Yeah, and that applies to a lot of stuff. And weight loss, obviously, being number one, where people, you know, got some textures, you know, calling in. Glad that we're talking about the emotional relationship to weight gain and or weight loss. Pretty interesting. But, you know, listen, the resolutions to me are a joke unless you're really going
to
be behind it. You know, like
you have to commit.
Like, I think a lot of people do the surface bull. You know, it's like, I'm going to start doing this or I'm going to start working out. And it's really not embedded commitment. Like, are you going to freaking suffer if you don't do this every day? Are you going to commit that deep to yourself that there's nothing that will break you of this?
Right.
To me is a resolution. Like,
I agree.
I'm committing to something, like if I said I'm going to be the best damn radio host and I'm going to be here, it's been 6 years, I'm going to do this, I'm going to keep climbing. There's no stopping me. Like, you could hit me on a shovel, I'm going to get up, I'm going to keep walking to the radio station.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So it's that level of commitment that I'm talking about that to me is a real resolution.
It does. It does start mentally. We're getting a text, 847. I couldn't be happier to hear you guys talking about trapped emotions on the air. I absolutely agree that some of the extra weight people are carrying is emotional weight that can only be dealt with by releasing those past unprocessed emotions. You and I were talking about that off the air, too. I've been on a journey myself to release them, and it's changed my whole life. Thank you so much for talking about this publicly.
Absolutely.
Which is very true.
And this is for me. I've been doing this work, and I have no problem talking about it. Kathy Hart introduced me to Dr. David Weissman from the Lifeline Clinic, and he's all about this and has techniques to directly release emotions, trapped emotions. And, you know, as a self-proclaimed alpha male and, like, you know, Italian testosterone-driven guy, to actually sit there and say, you know, I suck sometimes, and I, you know, I'm afraid sometimes, and, you know, be real about the true emotions inside of you, and then be able to tap into that face to face with somebody and let that stuff go.
Yeah.
It's life changing. It's completely life changing.
It truly is. 312-981-7200. We're getting flooded with phone calls and texts. Why don't we take a few calls? Let's go to Elise. Hey, Elise, how are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to say that I've lost 46 pounds with a program recently. But I've also lost over the last 14 years. I'm now at lost 170 pounds.
Wow. Fantastic.
And what's your secret?
I had bariatric surgery, but I didn't learn from it. And then I had several falls where I broke my legs 3 times. Mm. And, but it's learning to change your mindset, mm-hmm. like remembering there's going to be another Christmas. There's going to be another New Year's Eve. So you don't have to overindulge, and having a taste of something works much better than overdoing it. And I've learned through this program to do that. And it's a popular program, but I also go to meetings every week because my meetings are important. And I'm at my lifetime goal. And so it can happen. I mean, I've been dealing with weight issues since I was like 20. And
Can you correlate it to an event that happened or chains of events that happened when you were younger? Because my sister had the bariatric surgery as well. Mm-hmm. She successfully kept weight off, but her weight gain is tied to an emotional situation that happened when she was younger.
Oh, well, her weight gain was
okay.
Mine wasn't changing.
I'm sorry, you broke up.
Wait, say it again, Elise.
I'm sorry. What I was going to say is I learned from, you know, all these years, but what really brought me to being able to do it is that I fell and I had broken my tibia, and a few years later I shattered my femur.
Ouch.
And I lost 60 pounds sitting in a wheelchair.
Wow.
So, wait, you lost weight sitting in a wheelchair?
Yeah, because I was only eating three meals a day, no snacking.
Oh, yeah.
But now with the program I'm on, we can have anything we want as long as we track our food. And it's been very successful for me. And I've been on this program years and years ago several times where I'd start and I'd stop. And I finally decided that it's time to get there. Yeah. And, I do emotional eating all the time, but I got it more in check.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for you, Elise. Congratulations on your success.
I gained about 60 or 70 pounds back from the original bariatric surgery. And then
a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wish I knew now what I, you know, would have known then. But then I was raising 3 kids. My kids are all grown and out of the house, so I can concentrate more on myself.
Right.
So the other thing is putting yourself first. When you're doing this, because you're doing it for you and not for anyone else.
You're absolutely very right, true. Elise.
Virtual high five through the radio from one lifetime member to another, Elise.
There you go, Elise.
Thank you.
Hey, congratulations. You know, what I did about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, I gave up drinking completely. And it's not that I was drinking every single day or it became any sort of a problem, but I noticed that put on weight. You know, I would go to dinner.
Hidden calories.
You know, think about, you know, everything we do socially is like, oh, we're going to dinner. Yeah. We're going to dinner with friends. So, okay, I would go to dinner a couple nights a week, have a glass of wine with my dinner. I didn't overindulge, you know, it never got to a point of anything. But I gave that up and I thought, that's how I started, and I dropped 10 pounds, I would say, in 2 months, just that quickly, because the wine, again, was just the added calorie. So now, you know, I rarely have a glass of, I think I had a glass of wine on Christmas Day.
You get smashed off one glass?
No, but I can only have one, though. Because it's like I get full, So I'd rather eat all the turkey and the stuffing and the mashed potatoes with the, with the marshmallows on the top.
Pass out from food coma, not alcohol.
Food
That's
coma,
good.
Exactly. Yeah. But
did you find it interesting, and we have a couple more calls we're going to get to in a second here, so guys, please don't hang up, and we do have to take a break in a minute. Did you find it awkward transitionally to, like, communicate with people in a non-inebriated state or not, like, because I would imagine it's like, you know, if you gave up food and alcohol and all you had to do was actually socialize with somebody without distraction.
Yeah. That's so interesting that you ask it, because I thought that would be a problem, because I would go out and most of my girlfriends or friends or family, whoever, everyone will have either a glass of wine or a beer or something. Again, it's not overindulgent. It doesn't become any sort of a problem. But I noticed that more people are starting to do that. In fact, you know, this couple friend that we hang out with, they did the same thing. So we all went to the super fancy restaurant and got sparkling water. You know, so I kind of noticed
same
more
level
people,
of conversation, though?
Yeah. I mean, we had a great time. You don't need to have a glass of wine to have a great conversation.
So I wonder now, because this segues a little bit too, because I don't want to get too far because I want to get these calls. We talked about cell phone addiction briefly before in the news.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder if you lose one addiction.
Do you start with another?
That's a great question. Hey, I don't drink or eat bad, but I'm on my phone constantly.
Right.
Because that's my other distraction.
I have no conversation except with my phone, which is terrible. No, I'm not saying that's me, but people in general, I think, have conversations with themselves via their phone.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Let's take a few more calls. 312-981-7200. We go to Julie, who kind of goes along with what we're talking about. Hey, Julie.
Hey.
This is Julie. Andrea, I knew you from the past. I was a salesperson there.
Oh, hey, Julie. How are you?
You remember me?
I do. Happy holiday week.
Thank you. I listen all of the time, and this is a reason that goes with my theme, is that instead of saying I'm too busy to call in or to say make a comment, I really want to just take the time and have mindfulness and stay present and take the time to do things that I really want to do. And that's my resolution for next year. And not to multitask as much and to really be in the present, especially I have teenage children. And, you know, really listen. And because, you know, when you think about it, our age, our parents didn't have cell phones. And so they were 100%, when I think of my mother and probably yours, you know, it was 100% they were focused on you, and they weren't ever interested in anything else. And when I think about that, I think how lucky was I that I had parents that cared 1,000% what I was saying at that one moment. Instead of being, I see so many people listening to their kids, whether I'm at Starbucks, I travel for work, or wherever I'm at, I see that they're sort of listening, and this is not a negative thing. It's just a major.
Julie, what you're pointing out is a reality. You're pointing out a reality of what's going on today, and I'm so glad you brought that up, Julie, because it is such a contentious point, in my opinion. I don't want to say women should be this or a mom should be that, or because I think it's a different world today.
It is,
right, but. If you're on Instagram and you're a young mom and you have certain responsibilities to your children that keep you contained to a certain environment and or space and or routine, yet you're yearning for another life because you're seeing this other life on Instagram and Facebook and you're so jealous of that life, but yet you chose to be a mother with a child and a wife. I see this played out all over the place. And there's this envy that exists within women, in my opinion, young moms, that are like, hey, if I can't have that cake and eat it too, then I'm really not thrilled. Then I'm going to kind of vis-a-vis take it out of my kids and or be distracted. And so it's a really interesting topic, Julie, you're bringing up. I'm glad that you voiced it.
It's an interesting circle. I'm glad you said too, Julie, because I can't believe your kids are teenagers.
I can't either, because I know Julie from like 15 years ago.
I was going to say, I remember when you didn't have kids and we would go out and have a few glasses of wine, Jule. No, but
I miss you so much, but
I miss you
all the time. And it's so funny because, like, I don't want to be mean about how I fall asleep at night, because this is a compliment.
Yeah.
I travel, everything for work. I cannot live without my WGN app on.
Aww.
And it helps me calm me.
Yeah.
So back on your other subject, it's so funny because if you put something familiar on, that helps you fall asleep too. But back to the mindfulness.
Yeah.
It's so funny because when I see, you know, kids really wanting to talk, mm-hmm. and they all of a sudden we're on to the next thing. The other thing we never had before was like all this, if you're hungry, and it leads to our other topic, you know, fast food, let's go to Starbucks. We didn't do all that. So it was like on to the next thing. So if your kid is talking to you and you're a teenager, then it's just like, well, wait, are you hungry? You want to go get Starbucks? You want to do this? It's like next thing, next thing, next thing. I just want to pause.
Right.
And just be like, we're not hungry. You know, let's just sit here and talk. Tell me how that made you feel. You know, sort of all of these contemporary things are just moving into our lives. And I was thinking about my childhood, and I didn't have any of that. We would spend hours talking where we didn't even need a snack.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. It was dinner conversation as opposed to now. And it's not, this isn't faulting anybody, because my cousins all do this. You know, my friends with kids, they'll give their kids an iPad or their phone and say, go play. You know, that it's just, it's 2018,
easy.
Almost 19.
It's easy.
This is just the way it is right now. But you're right, because, you know, my mom we would have dinner conversation and everyone would have to say how their day was or something that they did that day. Or something that they learned, or something at this, you know, when we played sports, something we did.
Julie, your mindset right now, in my opinion, is what the world desperately needs. It desperately needs.
Come back. Come back.
We need to come back to Main Street.
I love listening to you guys. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Hey, happy New Year, Julie. Good to talk to you. She's a doll. But again, I still can't believe she has teenage kids right now. We'll take a quick break. More with Frank Fontana and me, Andrea Darlis. We're in for Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN. 10:54, 720 WGN. Andrea Darlis, Frank Fontana. We are in for Bill and Wendy. We have a lot of calls coming in, people talking about their resolutions and just kind of being more mentally fit, if you will, for 2019. We had a caller, John. I know we had you on hold for a while, but I really want you to call back. You were going to tell Frank and myself something about your wife and what you wanted to do with her for the new year. If you could just call us back. I know we had you on hold for a while trying to get to all these calls, but call us back, and I think your story was very moving. Yeah, we want to talk to you a little bit. In the meantime, we're going to go to Karen on line three. Karen's got a great resolution. Karen. Hey, Karen.
Hello. I have a simple, lighter side resolution.
Let's hear it.
And mine is that every year I buy a small pocket-sized change purse, and I use my change as I go along. I find that if I keep breaking the big bills at the stores, it seems I'm spending more. So this way, if I use change as I am making the purchase, then I'm lighting up my change pocket. However, at the end of the year, if I fail, I end up with a large jar of change that I take to the bank.
Good for you. I like that.
I like that too.
Yeah, and you know, I use cash often.
See, I don't.
Karen, when you go to stores and you give them a wad full of coins, do they look at you like you're crazy?
Well, I do monitor it, because if the line is long and seems hostile, I won't do it.
Right.
The hostile line.
I would be behind you in line, Karen. Going,
exactly.
Oh, my God, she's giving change? What?
Oh, my God.
I love it.
All the pennies. However, I find that I could manage my money better bill-wise if I'm not constantly breaking the 20s and the 10s and the 5s, and I monitor it with change.
That's smart.
That is smart. Way to go, Karen. I hope you have a lot of change for 2019 that you can cash in.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. 312-981-7200. It's Frank Fontana and Andrea Darlis, and we have John on the line. John, first of all, thanks for calling back. I know we had you on hold for a while, but you had a really nice story that Frank and I wanted to hear you tell and to tell our listeners too. So.
Yeah. So I, the resolution part for myself, I think I kind of got that under control. Maybe like a year or so ago, when my wife was first diagnosed for the second time with metastatic breast cancer, so it's basically stage 4 terminal.
So that
was a big turnaround for me, right? We need to make sure that we've got a parent here for our kids. So I've been working on me. That's fine, and I've lost a bunch of weight, and I'm eating better, and I'm healthy. But my goal this year is to provide my wife any positive, fun, memorable activities I possibly can this next year, because we just don't know what kind of time frame she's got.
That's beautiful, John.
John, we want to give you a pair of tickets to take your wife to see the Blackhawks play the Boston Bruins in the Winter Classic at Notre Dame Stadium on New Year's Day. Leading up to the game, be sure to visit the Blackhawks Hockey House. It's now open at 333 North Michigan Avenue, just south of the Blackhawks store. It is filled with one-of-a-kind team exhibits, exclusive Winter Classic merchandise, and much more. And, of course, don't forget the NHL Winter Classic Park, a free fan festival in Millennium Park that's going on now through the 31st. But we want to give you a pair of tickets to take your wife to see the Blackhawks play, John.
That is awesome. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Really appreciate that.
And John, keep the faith, because just a personal story. We had an employee here at WGN Radio who was diagnosed with stage 4, and I want to say she is 7 years cancer-free now.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yep.
That is awesome.
Keep the faith. God bless you guys, and Happy New Year.
Thanks, John.
All right. Thank you.
All right. right, hold on the line. We'll be right back after this on 720 WGN. London calling to the faraway towns. Now war is declared and battle come down. Thank you, Ryan. It's 11:08 in the morning, 720 WGN. Andrea Darlis and Frank Fontana in for Bill and Wendy. We're here with you until noon in the noon business hour. And then we'll be with you on the stream from noon to 1, WGNradio.com.
That's right. And we're talking about, in the stream, we're going to be talking about how much of the internet is fake.
Yeah.
And I'm not
and
talking
there's
about,
a lot of it that's
oh,
fake.
Oh, it's not.
You're not talking fake news.
No, I'm not talking fake news. I'm not even talking about what we're about to talk about here with, you know, social media envy. I'm talking about big advertisers spending big money
right.
and getting the wool pulled over their eyes
right.
with all these fake, you know, bots and all this kind of stuff.
And you bring up fake bots, fake email addresses.
Yep.
You know, if you wanted to go get Frank, well, I know you have your own website, frankfontana.net,
yep.
but is frankfontana.com taken? Or
it
dot,
is.
Or,
see? A jazz singer in New York.
See?
I tried to get it from him. He will not give it up.
No kidding. I tried to open another email because I have a couple of different email accounts, but I just wanted one that didn't have my name. Any variation of your name is taken. And I'm thinking, who has, you know, any variation of my name? You know, yeah. Why can I only get Andrea Darlis, you know, 7 at Yahoo or Gmail or whatever I'm trying to do? Who has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Did you ever Google who has your name?
No. Can you do that?
Sure, you can.
And can you talk to someone at Google at Gmail?
Because really.
I Googled who can I talk to at Google, and they just sent me to the website, and, mm-hmm. and it's all
same
internet.
Thing with Facebook, same
just
thing
want
with
talk
Instagram.
To somebody.
You can't talk to anybody on social. Like these days, there's a giant technical wall they put up, and it's so baloney because you really at times want to like, hey, why did you kick me off here? What did I do? What did I post wrong? And like, especially if you're doing like a Facebook advertising, like there's
oh, yeah.
so
like boost your post kind of thing.
Yeah, and if one thing is out of line from their algorithm, they won't let you post it. And I fought this fight, and I'm like trying to get a hold of somebody. I'm like, why? What mm-hmm. did I say? That's I'm not being controversial. I'm not selling anything hard. I'm just promoting an ad.
Okay, now on the flip side of that, I see things on there, you know, for news. You know, someone will take a video, and this drives me crazy in this era of social media. Someone will take a video. We're out shooting a story, say, yeah. for Channel 9. Someone's taking a video that could get posted, and this person is commenting. You know, and the police come, and they're trying to do their job, and they're trying to, you know, they're under all kinds of scrutiny these days as well. So they're trying to do everything right, and everybody's video recording them, and that gets posted. And I don't understand, you
so
know.
Video recording the reporter?
Yeah, either video recording the reporter. I have so many times I'll be out and people are recording me or recording the police.
Yeah.
And they're giving their own narrative like, oh, this person just did this. But they didn't. You know, they're giving their own narrative, yet that gets posted and misinterpreted so many times for news.
Sure. I just read an article about this where there was actually a startup operation that was all these indie news people that were self-proclaimed newsies that would do exactly what you're saying. They'd go to an incident site or just happen to be there, they pop on their phone and be like, hey, it's Joe recording live from this, you know, corner of blah blah blah, and this just went down, a big accident, and here's the, you know, the details.
Right.
Well, apparently that it grew and then it staled, it leveled, and now the company's being sold, I think, or being disassembled.
See, and that's so frustrating to me because there are rules. You know, when we shoot video or when we're doing podcasts and whatnot, yeah. there are rules that you have to follow before you post something. Hence, that's why sometimes, you know, something will pop up and you're saying, what did I do that was wrong? Yeah. Whereas if I'm just a person on the street and I want to post something on my Facebook page, you know, when I say rules, meaning, you know, if there's a juvenile, you're not supposed to show their face, or children, we won't show children if they're involved.
Or fact-checking. How about that?
Exactly. But now, anything could be posted. And, yeah. and I do feel sorry for law enforcement, because they're at a scene, they're trying to do their job, and the first thing everybody does is whip out their cameras.
Interesting, right? It's similar to we were talking about during the break here, that, you know, us in the radio industry, you know, I came from podcasting. My world started in broadcast, in TV before that,
uh-huh.
but I had the opportunity in radio to be one of the first, you know, podcasters in the home improvement space, and had a great show, had 15 million downloads before anybody was getting downloads on podcasts.
Yeah.
We were killing it. And then I transitioned into traditional radio and left podcasting kind of as a sidebar for me. And I still did my own little, you know, mini podcast shows like The Human Renovation Project and, you know, 6 and 60 and all these different spinoffs I did of my baseline, which is here at WGN Radio.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I hear so many people bashing traditional radio, traditional,
yeah.
you know, talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
For me, in my opinion, it's actually there's a revival happening thanks to podcasting.
Yes.
Right? I believe that podcasting is talk radio, mm-hmm. but on the internet, right? That's really what it is.
Right.
And we are the to me, the birth of it here at, you know, especially like at WGN, this iconic, you know, sure, multi-generational radio station who's built, you know, careers and icons in talk radio for centuries. It's all coming back. It's 360.
It's like full circle.
It's,
yeah,
full circle.
It,
like,
is.
I'm so proud and honored to be a traditional talk radio host and dabble in the new, you know, radio,
right,
the podcast,
the podcast world.
But it's podcasting is making talk radio cool again,
mm-hmm,
in my opinion.
Oh, I agree.
And you will see a resurgence in stations like WGN Radio and other talk stations because of the popularity of podcasts.
Right. Yesterday, we did, Elton Jim was in with me for Bill and Wendy, and we went on the stream, and within 2 minutes, that's all it took for our engineer to run from this room into the next room, basically flip the switch, you, yeah, know, in non-radio speak, flip the switch, and people were already texting and saying, hey, where's the stream? You know, so people are at work. Well,
on-demand consumption.
At home.
Yeah.
On-demand consumption, absolutely. And my mom, who, I won't give her age, you know, she's over 70, I'll just say, loves podcasts. She will have WGN on usually when she wakes up, and then until she leaves the house, then she has her podcasts. So if she's not listening in the car to the radio, she's listening to her podcast.
Yep.
So I think it's multi-generational.
Totally. I agree with you 100%. And like I said, I think it's all 360. It's coming around. You're not going to see this station or many other talk radio stations go away. I mean, with that said, the caveat is you got to have good talent. You got to have great, you know, topics, whether you're on podcasting or traditional radio.
Yep.
You know, I just believe
our
bandwidth is greater, period, because we have access to the internet. All these shows, our show gets podcasted as soon as we're done.
Right.
It's uploaded.
Yep.
Then we also have the bandwidth of WGN's broadcast. We're all over.
We are all over.
So
we're
just better. We're just better.
That's right. 312-981-7200 is our number if you want to text us or call us, and we'll try to get to all your calls and all your texts as well. But we brought this up, Frank, because we were talking a little bit about social media envy or social envy.
Yes, social envy.
You know, and we started talking about this with Ryan a little bit earlier, too. Just you see something online, is it too much? You know, are we getting to a point of where, you know, you can't do, say you wanted to leave here and go have breakfast with someone and you posted a picture. I see the picture and I think, oh, how come Frank didn't ask me to go?
Sure.
Are we becoming too invasive and intrusive when it comes to what we're seeing and viewing on social media?
That's a good question. 312-981-7200. We want to hear from you guys. My opinion on the matter is, I don't know, like for me and what we do as personalities and journalists, we almost have an obligation to post and let people know, like, hey, we're going on the air,
yes,
or hey, we just heard this great story or this bit of information. I'm not one that's excessively posting. I will do mindset motivation and self-care. Like, that to me is super important because it's value. It's value-driven. But do you really want to see me taking a crap? Do you really want to see me eating,
I don't know,
donuts? You know what I mean? Like, maybe some people would. But, like, to me, that's just a starving for attention. You know, and what it does, when I think the intention is exactly what we're saying, social envy. I want that person on the other side viewing my timeline to think that my world is so awesome.
Right.
When in reality, it's one freaking second in my life, and the rest of my life sucks.
Yeah.
So I got to post 1,000 great images that equate to maybe 10 minutes of my entire 12-hour day that my life is actually as good as I'm perceiving it to be.
And then are you overdoing it as parents too, saying, okay, here's me taking my kids to a Santa Claus function or a Navy pier or wherever it might be.
Yeah.
And then somebody else saying, oh God, I don't do enough for my kids. I need to be,
totally,
you know, so it's maybe making us doubt ourselves a little too much.
Yeah, I think that it definitely does. It creates more and more envy. It creates more and more lack in that person, in my opinion, where, like I mentioned earlier in the show, the mom sitting home with the 3 or 5 kids,
yeah,
who would love to be at Navy Pier, but, mm-hmm, A, maybe can't afford it.
Exactly.
Or their schedule doesn't permit it, but yet they're envious, they're angry. Then that results in them maybe taking out on the kids and their husband. And
sure.
It creates a lot. I think it's a detrimental thing, in my opinion.
Or maybe accusing their friend of bragging.
Totally.
You know, like internet bragging. 312-981-7200 is our number. Let's go to Robert, who has a question about podcasting.
Hey, good morning, or good afternoon, I guess. I'm just very curious, and this has always intrigued me. You know, the space of podcasting is so big, and I could turn on and I enjoy them, but there's thousands of them. And I was telling your producer, if I'm not Carson Daly, how does anybody make money, or is it a career podcasting? How does anybody actually truly, I guess, pay themselves? And is it a career doing podcasting, given the number that are out there?
That's a great question.
Well, Robert, in my opinion, in my experience, there is ways to make money on it. You're right. There's only a handful of real big standouts like Joe Rogan, like Carson Daly, Tim Ferriss, all these guys that have, you know, 90 million downloads a month on their content. There's a couple things that you could do that could help you stand out. One is frequency of content, right? How often are you podcasting? And then with that, once you have a finished podcast, how are you promoting it? How are you marketing it? There is agencies out there that if you have a good enough spiel and your topics are great and it resonates with, you know, even your core audience of 100 people, you can actually partner with these companies. They'll help distribute with you, or you can go on a like Blog Talk Radio, for instance, does like these kind of partner programs where, you know, they'll take on a podcast and then for a certain fee they'll promote it and push it out to their various, you know, outlets. So there's ways to grow it. It helps if you get a brand to sponsor. That's how a lot of low levels making money, because the fact of the matter is we live in a content world, right? Every company, every business, every station, they all need massive amounts of content on a very frequent basis. So if you are able to find a topic, first of all, it's got to be something you're authentically passionate about, right? What are you passionate about?
Oh, no, you know, I wasn't thinking of launching a podcast.
Okay.
It's just a matter of, as you were saying, you know, you have to have content and distribution. But again, if I'm someone just in my basement, or even if I'm, you know, a mid-level person, I'm just curious.
Sure.
Is somebody, in fact, supporting themselves doing podcasting, or is it simply a hobby for them?
I think for some it is a hobby, and I think for others it can be a career, depending, Robert. Like Frank said, how many people are following you? How many people are downloading you? Because there are radio hosts in this town, and former radio hosts too, who are extremely successful with podcasting because people subscribe to that.
Right.
So the business side of it.
Yeah. And I was going to say the subscription model seems to be something that has worked for some radio hosts, and I've heard them. I actually just enjoy following the space of media, and that's why I was just curious as to whether or not if it's a $20,000 hobby or if it's a $200,000 career for everybody else.
Well, I mean,
good point. Yeah,
good point. Technology made it easy for people to go out and buy a microphone, to connect it to your computer, to be able to instantly upload it to a Spotify or an iTunes.
Sure.
And anybody could literally have a podcast for a very inexpensive price. You know, even for a couple hundred bucks, for under $500, you could have your own studio and be podcasting. I will say this: if anyone's thinking about doing it, The things that have risen to the surface is when you hyper-focus on a specific category, like I'm a knitter and I knit stuff, and that's all I'm going to talk about is knitting this quilt. Believe it or not, those hyper-focused topics end up gaining an audience, and it's like a wave. It just starts going and going and going. Mm-hmm. It may take a year, it may take five, but if you stick to your topic, it's going to eventually, people will find you.
So just, and again, I don't want to drag this on too long. So is podcasting almost as like traditional radio? You were saying somebody to come in and actually sponsor. Maybe you don't have 20 commercials an hour, but maybe you have somebody paying you for a sponsorship of your podcast, so it's just one sponsor?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Yes. And it's usually in the form of reads, like where, like a lot of, like if you listen to Joe Rogan's podcast, he'll open the show with like three or four sponsors in a very natural way. It's like how Andre and I would do a read about a sponsor here. They're doing it at the top of the show, and then they get into their shows.
Right. And there won't be as many interruptions.
And you know what? And that's kind of, I think, you know, we kind of came back to something you said earlier. Podcasting almost seems to be the same thing as radio, because you have to figure out a revenue model.
It does.
To make the podcast work.
That's right. Yeah. So start it up, Robert. We'll be your first two followers.
Sounds great.
Thank you so much. We'll have more with Frank Fontana and me, Andrea Darlis. We're in for Bill and Wendy after this on 720 WGN.
I like this song. I could just listen to this all morning.
312-981-7200 is our phone line here and our text line. Frank Fontana and Andrea Darlis in for Bill and Wendy. The 219 Frank says, I love WGN and podcasts. It's like hanging out with a friend or taking a class while I do chores. You don't have to be sitting in front of the TV. And then from the 708, I've been a lifelong listener to live radio and WGN and with podcasting. I'm now able to catch up on programs and topics. So thank you, Sue,
That's
for
awesome.
That as well. Yeah. And then someone else, I asked earlier, I wanted to talk to a human at Google, and they said, hey, Andrew, if you want to get in touch, talk to a customer service representative of a company like Google. Just Google get human. At Google.
Interesting. This must be new.
Thank you, Romy. I appreciate it.
Probably after
that.
All the lawsuits they're getting right now, they probably figure maybe it's a good idea we put some kind of line up.
I know. They're probably laughing as I'm typing in, hey, yeah. Google, how do I speak to you?
And your human's actually going to be an automated robot
yeah,
behind.
Yeah, right. Click here. I am not a robot. We're talking about social media envy, too. This is a good one. From the 630, when your friends who are retired, they post all their fun things that they do during the day, and I'm still working.
I know. It's tough. I mean, a lot of that self-checking, you know, you got to check yourself to say, why am I jealous? Why am I envious? All this stuff going on there. But it's a real thing, man. It's like watching TV and you're watching Lifestyles of Rich and the Famous. And you're like, why me? Why don't I have that life?
Oh, I know.
You know?
I know. Do you watch those shows?
I do. I
know they're still on.
Yeah. I mean, in different forms I do. And I less envy. I mean, of course, everyone's like, God, I mean, I'd love to be a gazillionaire and like have yachts and boats and planes and all that kind of stuff. But then, you know, it's like, all right, realistically, that doesn't mean the person's happy. It doesn't mean that they have this, you know, the greatest life in the world just because they can afford all that stuff.
Is that what we tell ourselves too?
Totally.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's my self-talk.
Who said, was it Ella Fitzgerald? She said, I've been rich and I've been poor. And rich is better.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
We'll have more after this on 720 WGN.
Hey, when we come back from this news break, we're going to be continue the conversation on social envy. Do you or do you know anybody who just can't stand to see other people's timelines and them happy and doing stuff? Does it cause you anxiety? And do you wish to be that person? Do you wish you're somebody else because you're watching social media and you think your life sucks?
Or when someone in your family says, well, how come their daughter's doing that and you're not?
Yeah, or the best is like,
and I'm not projecting any images, of course.
No, definitely not
of my own.
Real quick, like I love the story of like, hey, that person owes me like $200, but yet they're out every night at the clubs and restaurants eating like a king.
Again, I've seen that as well.
I'd love to talk about that. 312-981-7200. When we come back, right now, let's get a little update on the news with Ryan Burrow. Talking social envy, Andrea Darlis, Frank Fontana, filling in for Bill Wendy, who are chilling right now on social media, looking at us.
Yeah, and before noon, Frank, we have another pair of tickets to give away to see the Blackhawks play the Bruins in the Winter Classic at Notre Dame Stadium this New Year's Day in just a few minutes. Not now, but we'll finish up our conversation on social media envy. But before noon, we'll be giving those away. So
let's think of something fun to give
listening.
Away with.
Yeah.
Come on with it. And we got some callers hanging on for it. Let's grab Anna, who has an opinion on social media envy. Hey, Anna, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. So talk to us.
Sorry, go ahead.
I said talk to us. I'd love to hear your opinion on the whole topic of social media envy.
Well, I just wanted to call in because, okay, I'm 17. And so obviously I've grown up with social media. I've had an Instagram account since I was like 10 or 11.
Wow.
And it's just one of those things where like, while I understand social media, what me and my friends say is it's just bragging that no one can call you out for. You know, because you post pictures, obviously, of things that you're like, oh, see, I'm great. Like,
yeah.
You know, you're not going to post a picture of, like, you picking up dog poop and being like, oh, my gosh, I'm so cool.
Right.
You know, you post pictures of, like, you at Disney World or you meet a, like, famous person. You're like, oh, my gosh, I'm awesome. You know, but on the same hand, I think everyone just needs to kind of understand that that's what social media is. So I feel like it's a little controversial, not controversial, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of wrong to like hate on people, I guess you could say, for posting that stuff, because it's kind of what you signed up for when you sign up for social media, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Well, you sound a lot older. I just mean mentally than 17, because that's a really, really good point, Anna, when
totally.
You're looking at all these things online.
And Anna, I get where you're coming from. Like, in my position, because I consult with people all day long about what to post, how to post, with my creative agency. And I understand your world is built on this. This is what you know. But, you know, there's recently, I read a quote from a social media influencer said, you know, people like you, Anna, 17 to 13, all are being influenced by social media, right? So as our job as influencers, we need to do a better job about what content we're putting out there for people like you and everyone else to consume. Because, you know, listen, I live this too. I research all the hottest sites that come up, all the hottest posts, all everything that's trending. I'm on top of it. Trust me. All this, like, you know, College Row stuff, all this, you know, it's insanity. What, you know, just today I posted something, and I don't even know if you know who Eckhart Tolle is. He's an author, Power of Now. He posted this profound statement that got like 14,000 likes. And then, you know, you go on over to like these College Row, you know, Instagram accounts that have like a gazillion million people following. And, you know, the picture of a kid smashing, you know, a beer can on his head has 10 million likes.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like that's what I'm talking about. And when it comes to the, you know, the I understand your world is built on social. Like, you're going to grow up, my kids are going to grow up. It's going to be such a normal thing. God, I hope for them it cycles back to Main Street, but it's not going to. I'm not naive to the idea that social media is the world. What I'm just saying is that it also is. There's a tremendous amount of dysfunction that comes from it. And if you could be honest with yourself, Anna, did you ever see in a timeline of somebody else that you know or don't know, or Kardashian or anybody, and say, damn, that's, I wish I was that?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, all the time. I have one of my friends that goes to my school. She's super nice, but she's a model for Instagram. And so, you know, even when you look at like ratios, you know, if you have like 500 followers, and you know, so I have, 640 followers, and you know, all my following has to be lower than that. Like, it's very uncool. It's like, oh, I'm following 600 people, but I only have 400 followers.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you can't go follow for follow, because exactly. Then you're exposed. Right.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, like, and that's, I'm not a social media influencer. You know, I'm a normal city kid. But I mean, I would say, kind of as far as like parents go and stuff. You know, my parents they're still very strict about like my social media and how much time I spend on it. I mean, and I'm almost an adult. You know, and they're like, okay, you can spend like 20 minutes on it, like a day, you know, but you can't. You know, they set time limits on my phone. They're like, you're not going to spend your whole day just looking at it, because I don't think it's healthy for you. I mean, it's a little bit like looking at a fashion magazine all the time and being like, oh my gosh, I wish I looked like a Victoria's Secret model.
Yep.
Well, you can like eat and diet all you want, but like, that's just not necessarily how you're built. You know, so I feel like you also have to self-monitor, which is super difficult, especially because it's constantly being thrown in your face. But you really have to be good about it, because otherwise you're going to drive yourself crazy being like, oh my gosh, I should be doing this, or I should be doing this, you know, or I should look like that. But in reality, you know, that's not real life. It's not their real life. You know, the Kardashians, they have unglamorous parts of their life, just like we do. And it's just, it's not Instagrammed. So I think that's the important thing that I feel like kids my age have to keep in mind.
I think it's a great point. I want you to hold on, Anna, because we're going to give you a Lou Malnati's pizza gift card for your comments. And thanks for joining us, too, because you made some great points. Really.
Yes.
You want to post something for you. And you know what? My mom and I went and did this great thing, and we're going to put it on Facebook. And then you don't, I don't ever intentionally post something and think, oh, maybe people will see this and be jealous, you know? And I think most of us, just human nature, are like that. I don't think we're going to post something just to make others jealous or envious.
Definitely.
We have to get like in our own headspace and say, you know what? That's great that Frank and his wife went, and you know, they're in Bali and I'm stuck here in Chicago.
But does it matter to you, Andrea, how many people like your picture? I mean, you could say no, but are you checking to see, oh, this was a really good picture, I want to see how many likes I get from this?
I absolutely am. I don't constantly check, Ryan. That's a great question. It's not like I'm looking for that, but if I have 100 likes, I'm thinking, oh, that's cool. Oh, wow.
Nailed it.
That.
Good job.
Yeah. Nailed it. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And remember too, guys, a lot of people use social media. I mean, Elon Musk said in his interview on 60 Minutes, he sees social media as a battleground. This is where he's going to, you know, spit out whatever he wants, and, you know,
just, like,
whoever,
just like our president.
Yeah, I mean, to hell with whoever doesn't like
go.
It. This,
yeah.
Is, this is a battleground. So you have to kind of factor that in. All of a sudden your newsfeed has happy pictures, but it's also got people who are using this as a way to, you know,
as
spit
a tool.
Out whatever it is they want.
As
yeah.
a tool, absolutely.
It just goes back to my statement. If you're going to influence, choose wisely on what you're influencing.
There you
know,
you
because
go.
People are watching, people are listening. And I will say this. Recently, I read an article where somebody asked a group of young people to say, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know what they said? Famous.
See, there you
Insta-famous.
Go.
Insta-famous. Everybody today wants to be, like this girl Anna said, a social media model.
Right.
Or they see the vacation Instagrammers who are like the young couples at their prime traveling to Bali and Indonesia and getting paid for it.
Yeah.
So in their mind, that's like, folks, that's a 0.1% of what you see on the internet to actually get those opportunities.
It's not real life. It's not real life. Everybody.
But isn't that similar to flashback 10 years ago? People who want to go to Hollywood, people who want to become professional athletes. I want to be
definitely.
Famous.
Yes.
I
mean,
it's just, I guess it's just kind of morphed. It's no longer based in
Nashville.
It's
morphed at mass.
LA.
Yeah,
it's morphed at mass.
It is true.
It's scale, man. Internet created scale at a ridiculous pace.
Oh, totally. It totally did. We have another call. Doris, I think, kind of ties it all up for us in a neat little bow. Hey, Doris.
Yes, I'm sorry. This is such a subject that I could go on for hours. I'm a grandma. I'm 80 years old. I raised four kids. I have eight grandchildren. I am so afraid for this generation. I think it is. I don't know how we can fix it. And I had an idea, and I don't know how it would work. If these were my kids, I would have them have a phone. Why would you hand this instrument to a kid? And let them have the whole world.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I have two young kids.
My kids would only be able to use it for 2 hours a day. Their phone would be available at all times to call for help if they need it.
Right.
But the internet would be available for 2 hours a day, and they'd have to do it right in the house where we can see what they're looking at. You didn't give them all these magazines that they used to try to hide under their mattress, which was kind of cute. But this is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot going on.
I'm just so sorry for them. Last year at Christmas, I have three grandchildren from ages, at that point, 13 to 9. And we have such a good time at over there for Christmas. They each got a phone. All of a sudden, it was dead silence, and they were all gone. Hmm. And I think saw them again for the rest of the visit.
That was their plan, though, Doris. I get your point, though.
Hey, Doris, quickly, and then we're going to take a break here. My dad, I had a great conversation about him with this yesterday, and he had two good ideas. Like, Frank, we should open up a farm, a recovery addiction farm for people with phone addiction and social media addiction. And I said, Dad, that's a great idea. And he said, the second thing is he's going to buy my sister, because my nephew is like terribly addicted to it. There's a device that you could buy that literally controls every single device in your house and your phone, that you can hit a button and shuts it off.
Really?
Like, shuts off the ability to go on the internet.
Like the giant off button.
Like an off button. Yeah. Boom. And
there
then it's like,
go. That's what I'm talking about.
Doris, that's the power you need in your house.
There you go, Doris.
It would. Well, thank you for letting, because I just say this to everybody who is within arms, and they're so tired of me saying this.
Don't stop saying it. But understand, that life happens and evolution happens, and this too will, I'm not going to say pass, but level out and expose itself to what it is.
I hope so.
I think it will.
So sad for them.
We're all consumed in it right now. We'll have this conversation. We'll call you in 5 years, Doris.
Thank you.
God willing.
Listening.
You bet. Happy New Year.
I listen to you all the time. And the previous girl was exactly right. And I didn't hear everything because I was waiting, but everything she said that I heard was right.
Wasn't she great? Right 17 on? Years old. So there's hope, Doris. We're all good.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Happy New Year. It's Andrea Darlis, Frank Fontana in for Bill and Wendy. More of your phone calls. And after the break, we are going to give away another pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks play the Boston Bruins in the Winter Classic. It's all on WGN.
Welcome back to the Bill and Wendy Show. Andrea and I are holding it down.
Yep.
The dynamic duo talking about social envy, the impact of, what everyone talks about, social media and kids today.
And we're getting some great calls, too.
Great calls, great texts. And we understand that technology is the future. We totally get it. And I'm not opposed to it at all. I guess, this texture right now, 8 from the 815, the technology is the future, like it or not. If we want our children to succeed in life, they will need to be able to navigate through it. As parents, we need to teach them how to be responsible. That's the bottom line there, is at the end of the day, just like any other issue out there, it starts at home.
Absolutely, it is. Let's take one more call here from Kathy. Kathy, you're reading a book basically about this,
Hi. Good morning, I am. It's called, it's a New York Times bestseller, Reclaiming Conversation, The Power of Talk in a Digital Age by Sherry Turkle. And this particular woman has been studying the relationship of people with technology for over 30 years. And I've only gotten into the beginning of the book, and she was called into Holbrook Middle School somewhere out east to talk with the faculty and go on a retreat with them because they are worried that the students are not developing empathy. They said they are not developing that way of relating where they listen and learn how to look at each other and hear each other. Mm. And that, you know, when there are issues of social outcasting, that some of the kids say, I have no feelings about that. They don't read the other person whose feelings are so hurt. And she says that real people, with their unpredictable ways, can seem difficult for youngsters to contend with after they've been spending stretches in simulation where it kind of all works out the way they want in the end. So it's kind of an interesting premise, and I am in education, and I know that we are using one-to-one devices and all kinds of things, but we've been having these conversations as well. So I think it's up to all of us to encourage one another.
I agree.
To keep talking. You know, she's saying just converse. In addition to using your devices, we need to talk to each other some more. So I think it's probably a really good point. I hadn't thought about it.
With the devices not in hand, have that conversation
exactly,
with the phones turned
yeah.
over.
Correct.
Right.
She's saying the minute there's a device on the table, the conversation ceases because people grab their phones. We've been to restaurants and we see a whole family and no one's talking. They're all looking at their device.
Right. Or like it's Ryan like, said, oh on the train. God. I mean, and I know that's more of a, you know, it's just kind of you and yourself and your thoughts.
Killing time type of thing.
But yeah, even
right.
people who are sitting with each other at a social event, they're at a sporting event, yeah. they're on their phone.
Or a date, even worse, on a date.
On a date, I know, right? Hey, Kathy, what's the name of the book?
The name is called Reclaiming Conversation, The Power of Talk in a Digital Age.
Okay.
And the author is Sherry Turkle. I think it's a good read. I mean, I've just opened it and started reading it yesterday, and I'm kind of really drawn to it. I think people would enjoy it. It's not real. It's not a lot of techno speak. It's really about people. I think people would enjoy the book.
My kids are 4 and 7, and my 7-year-old, you know, is getting into games, and you know, he wants to be on it more than my daughter. But my daughter's seeing, you know, TV, Disney Channel, all these girl, you know, young girls have phones, and they're so she's like taking one of my old phones that doesn't even work. It's
right,
not even charged, and just playing with it.
Yeah,
and I get a little frustrated. Mm-hmm. But what my technique is, like, I don't give it. You know, I give it my son minimally, like maybe in a whole day he's on it for an hour. Maybe. And that's big.
And that's perfect, yeah.
And now what we do is when I go to Starbucks with them or I'm out and about and we're in a room, like you just described, with mm-hmm. everybody's heads down on a phone, I will literally get their attention and say, look around the room, guys. You see this? This will never happen to you guys.
No.
You're not going to do this. You're not going to be, because what they're doing is melting their brain, I tell them.
Yeah.
So remember the old commercial where the eggs were frying in the pan? Drugs? This is your brain on drugs.
This is your brain on drugs.
That's
yep,
what phones
exactly.
are today. Phones are the egg commercial of the 80s.
That's so true. Hey, Kathy, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Andrea. It's a pleasure to hear you back. Frankly, always enjoy your program.
Thank you.
You too. Thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you. Happy
holidays. Happy holidays. Happy New Year to you. 312-981-7200. Right now, Frank and I are going to take care of a little bit of business before we come back and hand things over to the noon business hour. But first, a seventh caller. Right now, if you can go to see the Blackhawks play the Boston Bruins in the Winter Classic at Notre Dame Stadium on New Year's Day, you have to be able to go. We will give you a pair of great seats to see this legendary game, Blackhawks and the Bruins, on New Year's Day at Notre Dame Stadium. Seventh caller right now.
I'm going. You going?
I'm going.
We'll be there.
720 WGN.